Right. You guys ready to get started? Yeah, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it. I know we got several that are sick this morning. I'm trying to think who all's normally here. Josh and Amanda, they're sick. Michelle is sick. There's several that are sick. So, as you can see, we have a missionary this morning. Brother Chris Thompson, his wife Leah, and they are going to be presenting and telling us about work in Ecuador, which is kind of near and dear to my heart just because I live there, so it's kind of neat. But before they do, I have a little announcement about, I don't know how many of you guys were here the other day when we had the cops show up, but I'll tell you what was going on. So we had a guy come in church and talked like he was deaf, sounded like he was deaf, and anyway, in morning service he was disruption, and then evening service disruption, and then Wednesday night kind of belligerent. So we found out during the week, later in the week, that this fella had gone to another church and caused more trouble. So, since he showed up that Sunday, it's been a couple weeks now, since we found that out, we just had the police on standby if he showed up again, because I'm pretty sure he's going to show up again. So when he showed up, we just asked him to leave, and he left quietly and all that stuff, so no incident. But if you had a question about what was going on, if you were here, if you weren't here, then you didn't know anything happened. Which is good, which is the way you want it. You just, you know, let it happen and not know about it. But I know a few of you were here and you were involved in it, but that was what was going on. And so he was just asked to leave and he left. And so that was what happened, if you were curious about what was going on the other day. So I think our security guys did a good job. They got it all organized before. Let the police know what was going on, and so they were all ready and on standby, and so it happened, and I would say it happened without incident, you know, just asked to leave, he left, and that was it. So that was the story. If you had a question, and if you weren't here, you don't even know what happened, so that's good.
So you need to come early.
So, yeah, so that's the story on that deal. All right. Well, as I said, Brother Chris Thompson is here. He is the son of Pastor Adam Thompson up in Capital City. Some of y'all know. Oh, yeah. He must be good. I'm sure he is. All right. And so, like I said, they're going to Ecuador. I'll say a couple of things I think they've done really well. Chris got a chance to go to Ecuador for a year, so it's not like he's going to a place that is, you know, he doesn't know anything about or anything like that. Plus, he's born in Argentina. He has dual citizenship. He was a missionary in Mexico for a long time with his dad, and so this is not new territory for him. He's done this almost all of his life. So, Brother Chris, come on up here and tell us about the plans.
You want me to teach after this?
Do it.
You want to teach?
Yes.
Starting out? Okay. Thanks. Okay. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for allowing us to come. So we enjoyed the breakfast. Thank you. So whoever did the cooking, thank you so much for breakfast. So, Chris Thompson, this is my wife Leah. We've been married 4 months, got married in September, and I was born in Argentina, grew up in Mexico, and then my dad, my grandpa Hank Thompson, pastored in Austin, Texas, and before passing away, he asked my dad to come take the church. So we've been in Texas for about 11 years now, and I met my wife there at Bible College, at the Bible Institute there. And her dad's an evangelist, and he traveled America and Canada for 6 months out of the year doing vacation Bible schools and And the other 6 months out of the year, they'd go to South Africa and Zimbabwe. Her dad's been to India some, and so she's familiar with the mission field too, and traveling around. So, and we are headed to Ecuador. The Lord allowed for me to work a year there in Ecuador, the year of 2019, right before the pandemic hit, and help a missionary start a church there. So love Ecuador, a beautiful place, but people are open, and it's a good ripe time right now to see the harvest. The Bible talks about the harvest being ripe, and Ecuador is one of those places that is ripe, and it's ready to be harvested. So, and thankfully, the Lord, because of growing up in the mission field, the Lord allowed for me to grow up speaking English and Spanish at the same time. So don't have to learn the language there. But pray for my wife. She's going to have to learn the language. So when we get there, we're going to find a language school, and she's going to have to learn Spanish. I try teaching her Spanish, but I think I intimidate her a little bit or stress her in trying to teach her. So we decided to wait till we get there to do language school. And someone asked me one time, so when did you learn Spanish? And my question in return was, well, when did you learn English? I don't know. I grew up speaking it at the same time. So Lord's opened up many doors, and we're excited to be able to get there. If you would go with your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a little thought this morning, a little challenge. Romans chapter 10. Verse number 14. Romans 10, 14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful the feet. We don't think of feet as being something beautiful, right? If I see feet and toes, and I don't think beautiful. It's not the first thought that comes to my mind. But God says, how beautiful the feet of those that bring good tidings of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing to the Lord. But this morning, I'd like to just speak on the fact that missions works. We like to invest in something that works, right? If we know there is a bad stock, we're not going to put our money into that stock. If we know there's a fruit that is not going to grow here in Texas, if there is a fruit that grows in cold weather but not warm weather, then we're not going to try to grow it, right? Because it's a bad investment. And we like to put our money and our time in something that works. And I'd like to show you this morning how missions works. And given the gospel, it works. It changes lives. The gospel changed my life. And it's because of missions that my life was enhanced and made better because of the gospel. And I hope everybody in here can say the same thing, that missions works. The gospel changed your life and made you a better person. And not just a better person, but made life better because of knowing the Lord. I can't imagine being in other places where you grow up in Islam and in the Middle East, and you're under an oppressive regime, an oppressive system. And those people, I'm sure, can't truly say that they're happy. And they live in a system that is hard. I can't imagine living in Russia or in a communist country. I had the opportunity to go to North Korea for 3 days. And there in North Korea, we went to Rajin, which is a city on the coast. And we were at the school there. And we're going by the school. And we were guided around by the head of security of North Korea. And his name was Comrade Nim. And our comrade, he showed us the school, and there were some statues of some American soldiers there. And I was wondering, huh, that's interesting. You got American soldiers at the school. And he said, it's because we teach our kids to come out every day and to throw rocks at those statues. And it's a system that teaches hatred, a system, and I can't imagine growing in that. But the gospel changes things. The gospel teaches forgiveness. The gospel teaches love. The gospel teaches those things. And because of it, I get to grow up, and we get to grow up in a family and a church that teaches love and forgiveness. So we know missions works because it changes people's lives. And if you'd go with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. The Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in missions, there is a commandment. And in missions, there's a pressure in missions because there's a pressure to reach the whole world. That's what God told us to do. And number two, souls depend on it. Souls depend on the fact that we give them the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? And there's a pressure because it's up to us to be able to reach not just Beeville, not just Texas, not the United States, but the whole entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But number one, we'd like to see in Genesis chapter 18 how prayer and missions, it works. In Genesis 18 verse number 23, it says, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that would be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I shall spare all the places for their sakes." Pretty easy, right? He didn't have to beg him that much. Lord, would you please, how many of you would like it if God would answer your prayer that fast? Lord, I really need this right now. I need help with my health. I would like this house. I need this car. I need this job. And boom, Lord says, all right, you can have it. A minute later, boss calls you and says, hey, you got this job. That would be nice if our prayers were answered that fast, right? But he says in verse 26, "And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare it." Then he says in verse 27, "And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, he didn't say, well, let me think about it. He said, no, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Boom. Answered the prayer pretty fast, right? Lord, 50. God said, all right, for 50, I'll spare. For 45, okay, for 45, I'll spare. I mean, he was getting his prayers answered fast. Then he says, and he spake unto me again, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, immediately, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it. Now we know the Lord would not be angry to see people saved, right? He is not going to be angry if we say, God, we want to see this person rescued. Please spare their lives. I don't think God's going to be angry about that, right? And he says, I'm not going to be angry. I will spare him. And he narrows it all the way down to 10. And then verse 32, he said, oh, let not let the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. His prayers were being answered pretty quick, huh? God said, look, I will spare him for 45. I'll spare him for 40. And Abraham kept talking to him down. Okay, Lord, I'm but dust and ashes. I'm a nobody. But would you please spare him? You know why? Because he had someone there he cared for. He had a nephew there that he did not want to see hurt. And he said, God, with his nephew in mind, with compassion, he said, God, would you please spare for their sakes? How many of us have ever heard of the book Operation World? Anybody heard of that book? There's a book called Operation World. And what it is, it's an entire book. Someone did a lot of research, and he got every single country into that book. And within every country, gives every main fact about that country, the language they speak, the population, and then he goes into detail about the ethnic groups within each country. And he goes into every religion and the percentage of every religion in that country. And then he says, how many missionaries, this is just a large Christian group of evangelicals, are in that country, missionaries that are reaching the people with some form of true gospel. And then he gives prayer requests for that country. That way, every day I can look at a country and I can pray for that country, see the needs of that country, how many missionaries are there, and how I can pray specifically for that country. Well, Genesis 18 is Operation World right here being shown. Abraham is praying for a country, and he says, God, would you please spare this country? He had someone he loved in that country. And God answered his prayer. Now, how often do we pray for a country? Or do we pray for a missionary in that country and expect for God to answer that prayer? This is a man praying for a country and for a person in that country. And God was answering it. You know, missions works. We see that it worked whenever he prayed for a country. God wants to answer those prayers. God doesn't. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any person, doesn't matter what country it is, even if it's a country we're not really like-minded with, right? We see as very opposite from us. God wants to see everybody go to heaven. So if we pray for that person, that country, I know God will answer those prayers. God wants to answer those prayers because missions works. God, would you please spare, would you please help this person in Ethiopia? They need to see the gospel. Lord, you help so-and-so missionary in Trinidad. Would you please help them as they try to reach the gospel? God wants to answer those prayers, but we have to be faithful and actually pray. God, I want to take an extra bit of time to pray for this country, to pray for this missionary, because missions works, and God wants to answer those prayers so those souls can be saved. Prayer works. Missionaries need a lot of prayer when it comes to learning the language. How many have ever tried to learn a language before? I grew up speaking English and Spanish, but I attempted to learn Chinese, and that was an attempt. I didn't get through with it. And I tried learning Chinese. I was interested in going to China. I visited China a couple times, so I thought, I'm going to learn Chinese. In fact, I thought I was going to be a missionary there. But boy, was it hard. And just to learn, to be able to read the newspaper, you have to learn 3,000 characters. We're lucky because there's only 27 letters in our alphabet. And out of those 27 letters, we can form words. But they have to learn 3,000 characters just to learn the basic, just to read the newspaper. And then extra, there's 5,000 that you have to learn for sure. So if I have to start with 3,000 and go to 5,000, that's a hard work. Just tones, and it's very different. Lord, we know that missionaries have to learn the language to communicate effectively to the people. If I go to Saudi Arabia to reach people and I never learn Arabic, the percentage of people that know English, they're probably very slim. So I need to learn the language. And learning language is tough. But Lord is able to give those things. In Daniel, it says that God gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the ability to learn the language. He gave them the ability and the wisdom. So we know God can answer those prayers. God, would you help this missionary to learn the language so that the money I send them is effective and they can reach the people there? Lord, would you please help the missionaries? He has to get visa work. Paperwork is a lot of time and energy. Sometimes I feel like when we went to Ecuador, I had to get a visa. And I felt like they were trying to make it impossible for me to live there. When I was there all day. And it's like they were trying to do everything possible so I wouldn't get my visa. Oh, you need this paperwork. I told them, well, it wasn't in the system, in the computer. Well, we think you need to get this paperwork. And they just add things. But if we pray for those missionaries, Lord, would you help them to get their visa so they can stay there and can see other souls saved? Would you help them with that? God wants to answer those prayers, but are we praying for that? There's resources, and some countries are more dangerous than other countries. God, would you please keep them safe? A lot of things going on, but we need to pray, God, would you help these missionaries? Number two, he prayed for the country. You know, Lord, would you open the door? There's countries that have war zones. God, would you open the door so the missionary can be effective and see them saved? We know prayer works. We see it in Genesis 18. Lord, would you please spare the city for the righteous? And God said, he didn't have to think about it. We don't see three chapters later him answering the prayer. Immediately, God said, he answered the prayer. Number two, go with me to Jonah. To Jonah chapter number 2. Jonah chapter 2. Missions works. It's effective. Jonah chapter 2. I apologize. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Jonah 3:10, it says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? This is interesting. He says, when I was yet in this country, therefore I fled before Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a what? A gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance of the evil. He says, God, I knew you were merciful. God, I knew. Man, Jonah did not want to see this people saved. First of all, he disobeyed God because he didn't do as God said. He didn't go. And then when he forcefully said, his message wasn't, God loves you. You need to be saved. Trust in God. His message was 40 days and God's going to judge this earth. That was his message. He was all about judgment and God's coming and he's going to destroy this place. 40 days, you have 40 days. That was his message. Because he knew that God is a merciful, loving, gracious, kind God who wants everybody to be saved. He knew that. And so he just preached hard and then everybody gets saved all of a sudden. And he gets upset that everybody gets saved. What? This wasn't supposed to happen. Everybody gets saved. And he says, God, see, didn't I tell you, Lord, that you're merciful and kind and everybody's just going to get saved? That's what he basically says. But here's the point. The gospel works. These people in Nineveh were known for being a terrorist group, we could say. They were wicked at the entering of the city. They had skulls that would line their walls, and they would put skulls on of the enemies they killed on posts, and they were all about killing and death. This is a wicked society that just wanted to, they were murderers, and they were abusive and violent. This was a violent city. What happened? The gospel changed the lives. And you can go to these Pacific islands where natives, they don't wear much clothes. They wear a piece of yarn or something to cover themselves, and that's it. Some leaves. And as soon as the gospel reaches their hearts, they're fully clothed in their right mind. The gospel changes cultures. The gospel changes lives. People that were the Waurani Alka Indians of Ecuador, where were we going? I got to meet one of the, how many of you have ever heard of Jim Elliot or Nate Saint? I got to meet Minkai, one of the killers. He actually just passed away last February. But I got to meet him before he died, and he immediately, when I got to him, he started giving me the gospel. And I was like, well, I'm a Christian too. I'm saved. But he told me this. He said, I'm not that man I used to be. I'm not that killer anymore. Jesus changed me. And the gospel works. It changes lives. It changed his life. He started witnessing to me. But he was of a tribe that was known for killing their own family members. They were just they just were all about killing. They would take their arrows and spears, and they were a vengeful tribe. You did something against me, I'm going to kill you. They were a vengeful tribe. But the gospel came in and changed their lives because the gospel works. And an entire city was changed from a murderous, violent city to a peaceful city, a loving city, because the gospel works. But how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone had to go. Jonah went, lives were changed. Now, last point, and we'll finish. Go with me to Ezra. Ezra chapter number 1. I heard of a missionary that was in Papua New Guinea, and he said that, of course, there their custom with wearing clothes are different than our customs. And he said that he had to make a rule with his preacher boys. And he said, if you're going to be a preacher boy, you have to wear pants, at least in church. So he said it came to a point where they'd get to church without pants on. They'd put their pants on and walk right in. He'd tell them, no. You have to do that every day, not just before you enter the doors, put them on. Different cultures, right? But do you know what changes those things? The gospel does. You know what changes someone that has a hard heart and hates and is unforgiving? The gospel. The gospel changes lives. It makes life better. It works. Missions works. Ezra chapter number 1, and in verse number 3 it says, who is there among you, all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him. How? With silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts. And I put this in parentheses. It says, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. This is missions giving. He says, who is there that his God be with him? He's going to do the work of the Lord, go up and go. But those that are going to remain, not everybody's called to missions, right? Some people are thankful they're not called to missions, right? They don't want to have to go move everything they have and go live in Africa, go live in China, a totally different place, different food, away from family. So God doesn't call everybody to go, but those that remain can take part in seeing the world with the gospel, can take part in seeing souls saved. How? With helping with silver and gold, with goods. Besides the tithes and what you already give to the church, you can give extra to missions, and you can take, you don't have to go. All you have to do is help. And here it says in verse 6, all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that they willingly offered. Here's what happened. He said, there's going to be a group that God calls to do the work of the Lord. Now we need people that are going to strengthen their hands. And we can strengthen the hands of missionaries that go by just helping them with missions money, right? With some finances. The work of God takes finances. Bibles have to be bought. Tracts have to be bought. Buying a church property and building a church property. Being able to buy chairs for people to sit in these places in the church. And you can see your investment with prayer letter and pictures of the church that your money invested in. The people that you saw saved because of the money you invested. You couldn't go, but you strengthen the hand of the missionaries with your finances, with your funds. Working your job and the hard labor you do here is not in vain, because it goes to something better, an investment in missions, and missions works. Those things change people's lives. You know, I had the joy and privilege of growing up on the mission field. And growing up in Mexico, I was able to see a lot of amazing things. A lot of things happen and see a lot of miracles happen. We all want to see miracles. My dad said that he's seen the most miracles happen when it comes to missions. Because God wants to do a miracle in changing people's lives and seeing people saved. I remember things like we had our baptistry, and our baptistry was a metal tank. And we had to heat that water, but the heating system in Mexico is not the same as the heating system here. So what we would do is we would take an iron, we'd take three electric irons, and we would put them in the baptistry and then plug them in, and that's how we heated the water in the baptistry. We had kids running around, but they knew, they were smart enough, they knew, don't touch the baptistry. Now, imagine if we did that here in the States. Woo, lawsuits, and it would be crazy, right? Man, people would be mad about that. But in Mexico, nobody thinks twice about that. That's what we got to heat the baptistry. And they tell the kids, don't get near there. But there's a lot of things that would happen. I remember we were building a church there from ground up, and we had to get a crane in. And they had these beams that were heavy, and they would weigh several tons. And we got the crane to lift it up. And thankfully, my dad had just told the workers, hey, we need to get out of the way, walk out. And they had walked out, and as soon as that crane had lifted that beam up a certain height, the cable broke, and that beam fell on the ground, and the ground literally shook. You could see the walls just move because of how heavy that was. And thankfully, he had moved the people out in time. But there's a lot of things that happen. And that's why missionaries need our prayer. There's things that we have no clue are going on right now in China and in North Korea, even. The things going on. When we were in North Korea, the missionary we were with, he invested in farms. And what he did was he bought a bread bakery, and he would bake Bibles into the bread, and he would that way get into his country and get the gospel there. Amazing ways. And he ended up passing away now. But people like that need our prayers. God, keep them safe. Can you imagine the wives and the children of those missionaries? They probably don't get to see their husbands all the time. Can you imagine in Africa, the things that they don't have the same water system here. They don't have the same sewage system here. Totally different. I remember visiting a missionary in Guyana. And in Guyana, everything is below sea level. So they got canals there. And they were going to put us up in this building, this place to stay, and I was expecting a place definitely not as nice as this where we're staying, but at least similar-ish. And we got there, and it was cinder block walls, and where the windows were, there was just holes, no window panes. And as we're walking over there, there's a python in the canal right below us. It was dead. They had killed it. But there's a python laying there. So, well, we walked in, and there was hardly a roof. And we get to stay there. We had hammocks and a mattress set up. And we stay in those places. But those places are so much different than it is here. And we're, as American missionaries, we're used to living in nice places. And they go to Africa, and they go to Australia, and they go to these other places, and they need our prayers. God, would you help them? Because the whole point of this is they're there. If it was there to retire, I'm sure there wouldn't be that many people there retiring in places like Guyana and Africa. But they're not going there to retire and for the luxury of living there. They're going there because they know the gospel works. They believe in the gospel, and they believe in hell. They believe hell is a real place, and we don't want people to go there. God doesn't want anybody to go there. And God never sends anybody there. It's sin that sends man there. But it's if up to us. God says the command is for all of us. All we have to do is obey it. Sometimes obedience is hard. Sometimes obeying that command is hard. But if we pray, if we just take the time to pray, God, would you help this country? Would you help these missionaries? God wants to answer those prayers. If we just invest a little bit more money and say, I'm going to give a little bit more to missions, missions works. It's not a bad investment. Your money is not being wasted at all. It is going to see people saved and churches built and lives helped and changed. And if God calls someone in here to go to the mission field, then maybe God would want to use someone here to personally get to see the miracle of missions and the miracle of seeing people saved and people help. God wants to do miracles every day. And there's miracles in missions because missions works. It changes lives. And that's what I'd like to encourage you this morning is the missions works. And it's something we can invest in. And there's no bad return in missions. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for the investment in missions we can make. And the fact that there is no bad return when it comes to this. And Lord, there's a lot of things we can put our money in. And sometimes we get a bad return and there's disappointment in that. But God, we know that when it comes to missions, there is no disappointment because it's talking about souls. And we could see people saved because of this and people helped and lives changed. God, would you please encourage us and help us to do more for you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ms. Rotman.
Amen. All right. You're dismissed.